Let's talk some cricket, and one of the best in the business, Peter Lawler, Chief Cricket Writer for The Australian, about to join me for Illusion Gas Log Fires, clearing all current stock right now, illusionfires.com. Cricket Australia today announced its contract list for its men's and women's teams for the next 12 months. Plenty of changes, and on the release from Cricket Australia, it says the contracts are primarily based on player performances during the past 12 months, and those with respective national selection panels believe may represent Australian teams in the coming year. So the men's players, Ashton Agar, Joe Burns, Alex Carey, Pat Cummins, Aaron Finch, Josh Hazlewood, Travis Head, Marnus Labuschagne, Nathan Lyon, Mitch Marsh, Glenn Maxwell, Tim Payne, James Pattinson, Joe Richardson, Kane Richardson, Steve Smith, Mitchell Stark, Matthew Wade, David Warner and Adam Zampa. Peter, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining me, firstly.
Thanks for having me on, Dwayne.
It's an absolute delight for me to have you on. And this is, there's already been a little bit of a fire happening within Cricket Australia and the players and those within it. But this has added some petrol to it.
This list, do you think?
Yes.
Look, I don't think it's full of a lot of surprises, to be honest with you, Dwayne. I reckon Usman was a marked man when he didn't get picked in any of the sides across the summer. That was the end of him. And I'm not really surprised about Marcus Harris or any of the others. And most of the people who've been added to the list and that were left off last year had earned upgrades. I assume your listeners know this, but I'll repeat it in case they don't. You earn an upgrade by playing a certain number of tests, ODIs or T20s when off the list, and then you become a sort of base level contract player. So Marnus earned his. Interestingly enough, when he played half a game at Lords, I think he might have even had to have a bit of an argument about whether he was going to get 2 points or 3 points or 1 point for that one. But no, I don't think there's a lot of surprises. I think there's disappointment. And it's Usman Khawaja. He's 33. He's got solid numbers, Wayne. Look, he averages about 40 in Test cricket. He averages 42 in one-day cricket. And during the World Cup, Justin Langer said basically losing him before the finals was one of the key reasons that they couldn't go on. I mean, he was one of the more critical players during the one-day World Cup. But it's going to be difficult for him to play Test cricket again, I reckon.
So was this always due to come out today? Was the date of this normally the end of April? Or is it a strange time to release it, given that it's a divisive time in cricket right now?
It's legislated that it has to be done by April 30. I think they were going to do it late last month, but they delayed it because of this situation that we're in. There's nothing to stop them naming the players so much as the next big issue is going to be what they pay the players and the mechanism by which they play it. There was concerns that they were going to ask them to take a massive cut, and the players say, well, you don't need to do that because the way our contracts are structured, we take a cut when revenue drops, and so you don't need to interfere with the system. I noticed that the Players Association have suggested that what Cricket Australia do at this point is basically go on a percentage basis where if a tour is cancelled or if something doesn't happen in the summer, like if crowds can't come to India or India can't come, that knocks a certain percentage off the pay as they go. So you can adjust as you go. But that is the next arm wrestle at the moment. And as where we stand at the moment is that the Players Association, like the majority of the states, do not believe that Cricket Australia is in a cash crisis and do not believe there needs to be severe cuts at this moment.
So what do you think is going to happen a bit later this year, Peter? Because everybody knows that a sport to survive needs a sport to be played. And yet a sport to survive also needs a sport to be played with crowds. Can you see in early 2021 crowds returning to sport in Australia, whereby, you know, holding back some games and holding back the Big Bash until crowds are allowed might be the saviour?
Look, I don't reckon we're going to get a 2020 World Cup in Australia. It'll be a miracle if we did. I can't see 15 countries being allowed to bring their players into Australia in October, November. I don't hold out much hope for that. I do think that India will come. I think that the government will facilitate their arrival, even if there is problems at that point in time. Whether or not there's going to be crowds there, I don't know. It's a piece of string. I think the medical advice is you really have to have a vaccine before you can have crowds at sport. The immediate issue facing cricket is connected to the football codes. If you don't get any footy on this year and the broadcasters can't put games of footy on and sell some ads and get some money in their banks, that is going to cause a big problem for cricket, because then the broadcasters have to turn around and pay their bills to cricket in October, and that's a couple of hundred mil that cricket's relying on. September. So everything's connected at the moment, but
yeah.
Hey, my crystal ball fell off the table a long time ago. I don't know where we're going. Do you reckon footy's going to get on? I think I'm hearing June now, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're saying that the Aussie rules might get going.
Yeah, I'm pretty much 100%
sure. That needs to happen.
Yeah.
I'm
pretty much 100% sure the footy will happen.
To be survived.
Yeah, and scheduling still has to be done. So scheduling still has to be done. So footy is coming back in, let's just say conservatively, it's late June rather than mid-June, which is the best case scenario. So, okay, the AFL season schedules, then at least cricket can get an understanding of where there might be space for it and where it can actually flourish without, you know, eight sports trying to grab the back pages.
Yeah, well, there is that. But, good luck playing cricket around footy around Christmas time. The one issue that cricket doesn't have at the moment is it's not doing that sort of jigsaw puzzle of trying to put together play a whole season in half the time or establish hubs, or they don't have those concerns just yet. That's further down the track, and they can sit on their hands for a long time. It doesn't take, you know, those things are in place to happen, and it won't take a lot to make them happen, I don't think. So they've got. That bit's easy for cricket. I guess the uncertainty is what's killing them, and that's what's promoted this panic that we've seen at head office, asking staff to stand down and making the head coach part-time and then demanding that the states take massive cuts.
So can you see the Adelaide Oval hosting multiple tests against India and the hotel that should be open by then housing the Indian team for a longer period of time?
Look, I don't think it's a big deal to move a cricket team around. You know, a cricket team's not a lot of people, especially in this day and age. I don't think it's a big deal to move from one state to the other. I think that's highly unlikely. I think that was a sort of, half-hearted, hopeful gesture from South Australian cricket that's got a lot of traction in a time when journalists were desperate for something to write. But I don't think it's going to happen. I wouldn't mind if it did. I don't mind. I wouldn't mind a month in Adelaide, to be honest. In fact, I'd go anywhere right now. I'd spend a month in Ranchi just to get out of this bloody house.
I have heard you talking with Jared about the things that you're doing to keep yourself entertained. What about the Big Bash? I need to ask you about the Big Bash, because it seems to me that the Big Bash might be the kind of thing that Australians desperately need come November as well. A good Big Bash to sit home and watch could be a godsend for all of us.
Good point, because if nothing else happens, barring another sort of catastrophe, I can't see the Big Bash will happen this summer. And it could be the only thing that happens, and that'll be the greatest thing ever for the Big Bash, because you'll see the Aussie players out there, you'll see the Steve Smiths and the Pat Cummins and the Mitchell Starks, and somebody might even persuade David Warner to swallow his pride and come back and play a couple of games. And that'd be fantastic. It would have clear space and everybody would enjoy that. I don't know how long we'd enjoy it for, because it's a bit of a sugar hit, the Big Bash. Yep. But we've got to have something then. And this could be summer to really shine.
And you've mentioned exemptions for India to be able to tour here. That's a definite possibility. And could you see exemptions for, you know, two international players per team being allowed into Australia or even more? Big Bash?
For the Big Bash?
Yeah.
Why not? But, look, there aren't that many sort of internet. I reckon that it's a bit of a myth, this marquee international players in the Big Bash. There aren't that many of them. I mean, Drew, who are the sort of players that would get you out of your house to go to the ground to watch them play who are international right now? Virat Kohli? Well, he can't, he won't, because India won't let him. I mean, AB de Villiers might come down for a while, and AB was a sensational player, but he's a little bit of a dilettante these days, I reckon. There's a bit of this and a bit of that. It's nice to go and watch Dale Steyn bowl, I guess. But the people you want to see play the Big Bash, if you're a cricket fan and you love T20, are the Smiths and the Starks and the Warners. I think Australia has got a good roster of really big stars who would get people to games. Now, I back Australia's priorities here, the way they do this, but it strikes me as curious that you can give your international players 8 weeks off to play in the IPL, but you can't find 3 or 4 weeks for them to play in the BBL. And generally, there's very little chance for the Aussie players to play in the BBL because they have international duties. But it's a little odd, that, isn't it?
Yeah, it might be exactly what the BBL needs at the right time for its evolution of the BBL in this country, to have everybody sitting down and realising how damn good our Australian cricketers are and how damn good the competition is in the form that we're going to get it, even if it's an extraordinary year, because all the Aussie players are here and allowed to play every game. And on that score, do you see daytime TV being filled with some Shield?
That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? If there's nothing else going on, I know Jared Waitley, your colleague, has his heart set on a summer where Australia plays Australia A. That'd be pretty cool. Would they broadcast the Shield? Possibly. I mean, it'd have to be worth the while of the broadcasters, because it's an expensive thing to broadcast Shield cricket. I think I'm terrible with numbers, but I think someone told me that the broadcasters save $200,000 by not having to, couldn't be that much, good, $200,000 by not broadcasting the Sheffield Shield match. So it would be a cost, you'd need to do a cost-benefit analysis there. Would you get the advertisers and the eyes on the TV screen to justify the cost of covering Shield cricket?
Yeah. Any major changes to the women's contract list before I let you go, Peter?
Well, I'm pretty excited to see Taylor Vlemmick's got her first contract, not just because she's a girl from Bendigo like me, who, being a boy from Bendigo, I might point out, Dwayne. But that's great because she's a really good fast bowler, and she brings a bit of life to the team. She bowls fast. She intimidates the other side. It was a great shame that she broke down before the World Cup. Apart from that, it was all pretty much as expected, I reckon.
Getting outside the Savo,
eh? Oh, Annabelle Sutherland got one too, didn't she? Annabelle Sutherland's another one. Yeah, rising nice. Star. Watch her. Yeah.
You getting outside the Savo?
I've got to go out and sweep the path at some point. I don't want to do everything at once and leave me nothing to do for the rest of the day. But yeah, okay, there's a couple of leaves out there.
I'm going to try and get a video of it and get Jared to call it, maybe. You sweeping the path. I think we can turn that into a show. It's about as good as we're getting right now. We can take anything we can get.
Peter, come on. You've had a great show.
No, you're sweeping the path.
What's that?
That's my food's arrived. I think lunch is here. I better go. Great to have a chat to you, Peter. We'll talk to you soon.
Time's up, mate. Bye.
Peter Lawler, Chief Cricket Writer for The Australian, joining us for Illusion Gas Log Fires, clearing old current stock right now. You can read Pete's coverage of the contract list at theaustralian.com.au. Yeah, I'm a subscriber to The Australian. I'm through the firewall. I paid my dough. I like to read his stuff. Catch him on Wednesdays on Waitley as well. Some news just in. Tim Gossage reports that the West Australian Police Commissioner says the three Fremantle players won't face any action over their Sunday night get-together. So still no word from Fremantle on any potential club penalties on that, though. Take a break. Your calls after it. 1300 736 736 is the number. You're with Dwayne's World.